Countryside Anywhere podcast. For more information about Countryside Church, including gathering times and location, check out teamcountryside.com. Today's message comes from Pastor James Williams.
Good morning. So great to see all of you here. And just a quick note, I just want to piggyback on that welcome. Make sure if you have kids in the school age, the summer's last hurrah. This is the last week for registration. I just want to reiterate that. Make sure that you get them signed up, and it's going to be a great time this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night of this week. And so plan for that. Also, this is cool. Welcome to those of you who are with us through Countryside Anywhere, and we are excited to announce that we are going to, with Countryside Kids Anywhere, we are going to be online with kids services on a separate platform, so kids will also not miss out on all of our kids programming online. If they are out of the area, if they're sick, they will get programming as well online, and so we're excited to roll that out at the end of this month. And so, yes, I'm the online campus pastor, so I want to make sure that we get that out there. Boy, it's great to see everyone. The rally's pretty much smoothed out now, right? We can breathe a little bit, you know? And now the summer is winding down. Yeah. Yeah. But our 80s inspired summer series is still going strong. Yeah. Some of you are like, yeah, 80s. Okay, sure. Look, when I was growing up, it was the 80s. There were many things that were rad about that time period, and I decided to take you down a path that maybe Pastor Jamie or Pastor Mark probably wouldn't, they'd be less likely to go down there with you. And so I'm going to, you know, Pastor Mark's been doing the quizzes, right? Where he shows you a picture and then you're supposed to, you know, I want to do this too. I thought that looks fun, but I'm going to do cartoons. Yeah, how does that sound? Okay, so first one is this. Who recognizes this Beefcake and Lady Warrior? Yeah, He-Man and She-Ra, yeah, okay. I saw that Netflix just released a new He-Man cartoon, and my kids apparently are too old to watch cartoons with their dad, so I'll be watching this He-Man by myself too, I guess, just like I was when I was a kid. Never mind. Okay, so no worries. How about this Super Sleuth? Anybody know this one? Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so Inspector Gadget. Now, I had a specific note from Pastor Mark in here. He wanted me to remind everyone that in this cartoon, the good guy, Inspector Gadget, the good guy had a dog, a smart dog named Brain, and the bad guy, Dr. Claw.
I'll get you, Gadget.
You remember that guy? He had a cat, a mean, evil cat named Mad Cat. I don't know. It's in my notes. Pastor Mark just wanted me to pass that on. So, dog good, cat bad. I don't know. Okay. Anyone remember these cute mushroom dwellers? Yeah. We're not going to sing the theme song for these guys. We're just going to pretend that never happened with that theme song. Also, they lived in mushrooms, like I said, and there seemed to have been an abundance of males and like one or two females? What's that about? I've no, that's weird. Okay. Okay, so how about these pizza-eating ninjas of the sewers, huh? Yeah. They're always eating weird things on their pizzas, and I thought, yeah, I should do that. That wasn't good. Of course, we've got Michelangelo, Raphael, Leonardo, Donatello. Did I get those in order? Yep, I did. Okay. All right, a few more. This is an easy one. I thought this was easy. Some people are confused. Anybody know this one? That's G.I. Joe. That's G.I. Joe. I can name all those guys too, but that's just, I mean, like, they're not artists named after artists. I mean, one guy's named Duke. I don't know an artist named Duke. So, yeah, what did they say that was half the battle, though? Anybody remember this? Knowing is half the battle. That's what they would always say at the end when they had the PSA. Knowing is half the battle. Okay, two more and then we're done. They did do a remake of this, and I love this cartoon. And I best theme song ever. Yeah!
Life is like a
yeah, come on!
Duckburg,
it's not Footloose, but it's close. This is just as catchy.
It's a duck blur.
Yep. Okay, your part's coming up.
History, or rewrite history.
Woohoo! we didn't get a good one. We got to redo it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you. We're not going to redo it. Don't worry. Yeah, DuckTales. They just redid that. My kids aren't, they're not so cool that they have to miss out on that. They love that cartoon. So, okay. And then finally, this is a tougher one. I didn't know if anybody would get this. Those flowing orange locks. Thundercats! Yeah, the spandex. That guy, he looks like he's got two shades of orange and black, and then he's got some white hair going on. I mean, that show was actually one of my favorites. And they would go, Thundercats, ho! And with the sword. Okay. They have not remade that one yet. Fingers crossed, okay? Fingers crossed. All right. Look, we went through some super rad cartoons, and pretty much all of them have been remade. Did you notice that? They've been remade, they've been redone, there have been sequels that have come out over generations, and there have been just multiple versions of these cartoons that have come out. And I just thought that was really interesting. So today we're going to talk about what would be a radical saying of Jesus, but it's been kind of a rephrased, a redone version of what we hear from Jesus over the years, over the last 2,000 years. And I'd like to understand why we have taken this phrase and kind of rephrased it over the years and where it comes from. And so that's where we're going to sit as far as this radical saying from Jesus. And remember that Jesus was truly radical, as we've heard in this series, and unconventional. His ways were often radical and counter to what our culture often says. And it's been that way for the last 2,000 years. His ways in truth would be something that we should embrace, or we can embrace in this world. And so Jesus's radness, if I could coin a term, parlance of our times, radness has a bigger picture focus and provides longer term answers. So things like love your enemies, the greatest of you will be the servant. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And last week, Pastor Mark, he brought this cool sword from Lord of the Rings. You guys thought I was nerdy, by the way. Okay, just let's be real. Okay, no. Okay, so he brought this cool sword, and it was awesome, and he did that dragging across the stage. If you missed it, you need to go back and see it. Now you're looking up here, and you're like, did you bring a sword? No, he brought a raft. Why? Like, I'm sure you're like, why is he doing that? We'll get to that in a second. So Jesus taught these radical sayings, though, these radical things, and people struggled with them. And today, some of us still struggle with these because it's not the way our culture thinks and acts when we really get down to it. So today, this rad saying is this phrase. Have you ever heard this phrase? In the world, but not of the world. Have you ever heard this? Who's heard this? Yeah, so, okay. Well, if you've spent some time in Christian circles, if you've spent some time going to church, you maybe have heard this saying, probably. But what does it actually mean? In the world, not of the world. I remember the first time somebody said this to me, and I was like, well, that's weird. But let me share a story that actually happened to me in the 80s, okay? And it involves a raft. Similar to this. Now, I grew up with a pool. Now, before you're like, ooh, a pool. Well, I grew up in Phoenix, so everybody had a pool, okay? And my parents one year got some lounging floats similar to this, okay? And what's the idea for these floats? I mean, if you're an adult, you can kind of see the pleasure of just kind of, yeah, this is nice. Maybe I'll just do the rest of the message from here. This is comfortable, you know? You kind of splash around in the water. Maybe, I don't know what this hole's for, but you kind of just sit around. And yeah, or if you're 9 or 8 or 7, this is boring. So my brother and I would get a hold of a float like this, and what would we do with it? Well, let's see here. This could be a great thing to jump on, you know? We jump on that thing, and maybe if we, depending on what WWF looked like last week, we hit somebody with it and we were having fun with that. And then somebody just said, you know what my husband does? He actually goes like this. Psh. with it. I'm like, yeah, we did that. And then we also, there's plenty of room for more than one kid, just so you know, on this thing. So we would invite all of our friends and we'd jump onto it from the diving board and everything like that. Let me tell you, this thing got a workout over months and months of swimming in it. And what happened was it developed a slow leak. And the leak wasn't that big of a deal. You know, we just scoop water out, you know. Maybe we'd kind of grab a cup and put it there, and then we'd scoop water out with the cup. Pretty good idea. Until one hole turned into two, turned into three, turned into four. Big holes, and pretty soon, that raft became pretty unusable. It was like, we're just sinking every time we get in. And so, just so you know, kids, if you have a pool, these things make great basketball hoops. Just so you know. Just thought I'd tell you. But here's the thing. My mom and dad, they'd look at that raft, and they'd see the way we would use it, and they'd be like, come on, that's not what it's for. You don't use the raft for all that jumping around and playing with it. Yeah, you do. Okay. But I get it, because what happened was the raft was just starting to sink. And as time went by, my parents decided just to throw it away. They just said, forget about it. Because it no longer served a purpose. It was designed to float. It was not designed to sink. And so the raft was supposed to be in the water. Water was not supposed to be in the raft. And so not too different than paddling around in a leaky raft. Maybe we're living in a world that is just not as it should be. And Jesus knew this. And so when we hear this phrase, in the world, but not of the world, we know that the world should be one way and not the other. Now, over time, as I said, a few important scriptures we're going to be talking about today were condensed down into that phrase. And so let's take a look at these verses today, starting with a prayer from Jesus. And Jesus is praying, and he's praying for his followers. And so it's in John 17, and I love John 17. I'm going to read it, just part of it, 13 through 19 here. And then we'll get on with it here. So Jesus is saying, now I'm coming to you, God the Father. He's talking, he's praying this. I told them many things, them meaning his disciples, while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I've given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. The evil one is Satan. We have an enemy. That's true. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. Now, what I wanted to say about John 17 is it's a testimony of Jesus' love for all of us if we choose to follow him. It is a real testimony of how much he loves his followers. If you get a chance this week, just take some time and read it, pray over it. John 17 is amazing. And so we're going to zero in on this part of the prayer, though, that I just read. When we hear in the world, what's Jesus saying? What does he mean by in the world? He talks about in the world several times. What does he mean? And as we read through Jesus' prayer, I believe Jesus is saying four important things that will keep our rafts afloat, if you will. You know, it'll keep us from sinking. So I have to ask you, do you ever find yourself just wading through this world, floating around and constantly scooping water out of your raft and just thinking, trying to stay afloat, wondering, how long can I keep this up? Are we just going to let water in at this point? Are we just going to throw our arms up and just say, this is it, I'm done? Are we sinking and wondering how we got here? Are we taking our raft out completely and just saying no more? You're wondering, how am I supposed to keep this thing going? Well, God's word has answers, and we can start with this. Don't love the world or worldly things. Don't love the world or worldly things. The other verse that I talked about, how we've taken these verses and we've made this phrase out of these verses, it's found in 1 John. And we hear a very cautious truth for all of us. 1 John 2:15 and 17, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the, what? World, you do not have the love of the Father in you. And this, what? World is fading away along with everything that people, what? Crave. You know what it's like to crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. When Jesus says the world, or when John says the world in this verse, the Greek word for this is ion. And ion, it means world system. World system. It's not saying, do not love the people of this world. Do not love God's creation that he's put you in because this creation is amazing. No, he's referring to the worldly attitudes and the values that are not in line with God's best for us. God created this world, this perfect world for us, and then sin entered the picture, as we know from Genesis, and just messed it all up. And so this great wisdom here, don't fall in love with our culture because our culture will change. This verse says the world is fading away along with everything. Let me just make sure I got that right. Along with everything, that's what it says. Along with everything that people crave. Now I know we feel like we need to full send in life. I know we believe we are supposed to YOLO. And I know everybody have fun tonight. And everybody Wang Chung tonight. Dance all days? Nothing? Okay. Yeah, okay. Some of you got that. I love it. But in this scripture of John, he's saying, hey, remember what Jesus prayed for you because the world is fading away and along with it, everything that people crave. And the book of Philippians helps us keep our main focus not on worldly things, and then calls us to something more, citizens of heaven. Out of Philippians 3:20, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. That feels good. That's a label you want to carry. That's an identity you have. You're a citizen of heaven, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. And John speaks to us as citizens of heaven. Anyone who does what pleases God, knowing what's best for our lives, will live forever. Knowing we are citizens of heaven, we are following God, and then the next thing is, we are not of the world. If you believe that, stop. You don't have to believe that anymore. You and I, if you've made a decision to follow Christ, you're a citizen of heaven. You've been adopted into his family. We don't have to hide the fact that we are not of the world. We can walk a little different. And there's freedom on the other side of that because Jesus prayed that we would not be of the world. Look back on Jesus' prayer on verse 14 John 17 here. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world. And this is the best part. Just as I do not belong to the world. He's praying for his disciples, his followers, and that's you and that's me if we've chosen to follow him. And he passed on God's word to all of us. It's amazing to think that Jesus, 100% God and 100% man, walked the earth, performed all kinds of miracles, healing and helping people. And then it was 2,000 years ago, and he says this prayer for us. And it still stands true today for every single person in this room and watching online. Jesus knew that the world would be in trouble. But we are not of the world any more than Jesus is of the world. So Jesus continued his prayer. In verse 18, we read as, "You sent me into this world, into the world. I have sent them into the world." And so he reveals this amazing truth. Jesus was sent into the world, and we are too. When we say or hear in the world, but not of it. Look, if we walk around and we carry this motto, sometimes we get this feeling of, you know, this world is temporary, it's nice, but I'm stuck here. Like, I'm stuck here and I'm just waiting for everything to get done here so that, you know, I can go to heaven. And we're not part of this. And some would say that some followers even feel above it. And it could be a reason why some churchy folk maybe get the mission goofed up and we only associate with other Christians and we may struggle to extend a hand to those who don't know Jesus yet. Maybe. Maybe that's why some people feel like Christians have this internal feeling that we are better than everybody else. Maybe. Maybe you're here at church for the first time in a long time, or you haven't ever been to a church and you're wondering, why do Christians act the way they do? Why are they the way that they are? And now you're thinking, maybe I want to learn more about Jesus. I find myself thinking about this quite often over these last few weeks as I was putting this message together. And what came to mind is where I was at 17 years ago when I didn't know Jesus. And somebody introduced me to him. And then I started this walk, this following of, you know, I just followed Jesus the rest of the way. But in doing that, there's one thing that we do. We set up healthy boundaries. You know, we have things in our past that we want to say, you know what, that we need to set up a healthy boundary here, or we need to make sure that we're not doing this anymore because it's not good and pleasing to God, right? But here's the thing. In doing so, I took myself completely out of many people's worlds. And now I'm to this point in my life where I look back on those key relationships, my best friends that I had 20 years ago, and maybe they didn't know Christ and they still don't really have a relationship with him. And I think, I really want to talk to them, but not be weird. I just want to talk to them and see how they're doing. And I pick up the phone and I'm like, well, I haven't talked to them in 17 years. Well, that's weird. They'll know something's up. I talk myself out of it. And so I go back and forth. And what happened was I took myself out of the mission. I took myself out of God's plan that he sent me into this world with a specific mission. And so we are intentionally sent to live and be in the world, following in Jesus' footsteps. And sometimes that means, yes, healthy boundaries, it's very important, but also don't lose relationships that can be something that you can help people with to know Jesus. So this word sent, when Jesus says that I sent them into the world, I have sent them, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. This word sent, I did the best Google translator I could on this thing, but the word is pronounced, the Greek word is pronounced asphalis. Yeah, so you do what you want with that, asphalis. And you know, the guy's voice is always like, asphalis. You know what I'm talking about. So one better way to define this, when you hear this word, sent, which means asphalis, it means mission. It actually means mission. Jesus was on a mission here. He's saying, as you sent me on this mission, and we're on a mission here, I have so sent them on the mission as well. And what's our mission? Our mission is to just share the good news, the greatest news that could ever be in someone's life, in all of humanity, in all of the history of the world. We want to share that with everybody. That's our mission. That's why we're sent. That's the sent that Jesus is referring to. And there's no doubt being not of the world should be an emphasis that's so important But don't miss out those opportunities that you're sent into. And this isn't easy, because Jesus even recognizes this fact that it'll be difficult. It'll be difficult. He even prays. Part of his prayer is that he's not saying, I'm not asking you, as it says in verse 15, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Plan A was never that Jesus was going to come down here and perform a couple of party tricks and then share his wisdom with 12 lucky dudes, and then they were just going to go to heaven and we were all going to be stuck here. That was not plan A. That was not the original idea. Jesus prays for protection over us because he knows better than any of us what it's like to carry the burden of his truth, that he is the only way to heaven. You know, as I was sitting down and I was thinking about Jesus being the only way, I couldn't help but think of Sylvester Stallone. I know. Why, James? Why did you have to do this? But you'd think about it, you know, I mean, we're talking about 80s, and there's no bigger, I mean, 80s movie superstars, he'd be at the top of many people's lists, okay? Stallone, you know. And it seemed like whether it was Rambo or Rocky or Over the Top, I mean, not his best moment, I think, but still, he was the only one who could rescue POWs. He was the only one who could defeat the Russian. And he was the only one who could arm wrestle that big guy at the end. Why? Why did we do arm wrestling? I get it. Like, the plot is amazing of that show, actually. But arm wrestling? Really? That's what we went with. Okay. But listen, what I'm saying is that he's the only one in those movies, right, that can come and save the day. And in life, Jesus is our only rescuer. He's the only one. Because he knows how difficult it is. He knows how difficult it is to be a follower and face this world. So he prays for protection. And the question becomes, how will we act when it comes to this world we are sent into? Seriously, how do we do this? Because we want to live in this world. We don't want to live of the world. Well, I know how we tend to handle it. I have three ways that I think of that we tend to handle this. Three ways we tend to try to be in the world, but not of it. And so as we walk through these ways, maybe something comes to mind for you. Maybe this is a moment where you can jot it down, make a note in your phone, tell somebody, boy, I'm kind of like that. So the first way is this: we tend to separate from the world. We tend to separate from the world. But wait, we just read, if we're sent to this world, then how do we just separate from it? Well, what that entails is maybe you have this raft and you say, you know what? No more raft. Take that. I'm taking my raft and I'm putting it away. And we become the raft police. Woo-wee-oo. No more raft. We're done. That's it. You can't have a raft and you can't have a raft. Nobody's allowed on the raft anymore. And the raft becomes exclusive. Exclusive only to people who are going to properly use the raft. You know, our intentions are good when it comes to separating. I get that. We want to protect ourselves. We want to protect our families from the sin of this world. That's important. Yet we forget the mission that Jesus sent us on. Granted, it's easier to live by God's standards if we just remove ourselves from every situation that could be a dangerous one. But there's one big problem with that. In doing so, we also remove the opportunity for Jesus to influence people in the world through us. And so Jesus calls us to go out into the world and take the gospel to everywhere we can. And that's not to just hunker down in a holy bunker. Maybe that's not you. Okay, another tendency might be this. We tend to compromise in one or more areas. I think this is more of the common way. But we just talked about a few weeks ago, God tells us that there's a better way than that. Look at what it says in Romans. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a person, into a new person, by changing the way you think. Going back to the raft. When I was a kid, we were so hard on that thing. You saw a little bit, but I mean, it was 30 years ago. I was way more spry back then. Like, I was all over that raft, just like people's elbow, all kinds of stuff. It was crazy. And you know, we popped that thing. We gave so many kids rides on that thing. It was insane. And you know, it was one of those things, like, maybe if I give my friend a ride. In the beginning, it was like, well, I could probably get away with just, mom's not here, mom's not noticing. Maybe we can just jump on it a little bit. And then it turned into, well, my friend wants to jump on it. Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, you should jump on it too. Then we all are jumping on it. We're diving off the board. We're having fun with it. You want the dog on there? Yeah, we want the dog on it. Her nails are long. Who cares? Who cares? Just put the dog on it. And so little by little, it compromised the raft. And we tend to launch our rafts out into this culture. And because, truthfully, we aren't all in on Jesus and his word and knowing and living out his truth. And so we struggle. We end up taking on water more than we thought. Some believers simply throw up their hands and surrender, and we just say, well, I'm going down with the ship. Here we go. I'm not going to worry about God's ways anymore. And following Christ may be just too hard, too boring, too weird. And the majority of us compromise little by little. Maybe, if we're honest, this could be you. Because I always say it like this. It's not this hard fall into sin that we experience. It doesn't happen that way. Instead, it's that subtle squeeze on our lives that pressures us into making decision after decision after decision until one day we wake up and we wonder, how in the world did we get this far? And so this little leak turns into 3 leaks, 7 leaks, big leaks. And often we don't even realize it's happening, but we'll straddle that fence. We give slightly in another area over there. Sometimes we even compromise God's holy standards in a misguided attempt to just be relevant. Can I get people to like me? And then there's the third way. Many of us attempt to be in the world, not of the world. And it's this: live for God out in the world. Live for God out in the world. There it is. It's God's way. If we go back to Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's what? Will for you, which is what? Good? We're okay, right? Is it up there? Okay. Which is what? Good and what? And pleasing and what? Perfect. God's will is perfect. Isn't that great? The word Romans refers to here when it says the world is actually the same word that is used in John. Ion. The world system. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world system. Admitting that we're going to be out there in the world, but not like it, not of the world, can be very difficult. But God's will is pleasing. It's good and pleasing and perfect. And we recognize that we're going to be scooping some water once in a while. I understand that. And we'll be paddling, trying to get going again. Some of us will be rad paddling or rattling. Huh? No? Okay. Yeah. I had to slip in a dad joke. We'll be doing so much rattling, though. It'll be like we're doing this upstream. And it'll be like Niagara Falls, and we're sitting in the barrel. I know it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Those decisions don't come easy. But we can do it. We're going to do it. Are you ready to rattle with Jesus? You know what? We just sang a song about being in the ocean of grace, and we're all sinking. And it got me thinking, that's the opposite of the raft staying afloat. But you know what? If you choose to sink in God's grace, then so be it. That is an amazing place to sink. Just don't sink into the world. Don't let the world take you. That's what Jesus is saying. He's praying that over your life. And you can have the best raft, and you can have the best paddle, and you can even have the coolest pool that you're going to be swimming in with all your friends, but we have to remember what Jesus' words were in that prayer when he said this. He said in verse 19, he said, I give myself as a holy sacrifice for who? Them. Who is that? You. Me. Us. And it's so that we can be made holy by his truth, God's truth, his good and pleasing and perfect truth. He was the sacrifice so we could be made holy by God's truth. Jesus gave us God's word as it was given to him. He sent us just as he was sent into this crazy world, and God protects us. Because Jesus prayed that over us. And we hold on to that. That's our faith. That is our hope. That's our mission. And so today, let's choose. Let's choose to be in the world and not of it. Would you pray with me, if you would? Father, I thank you for bringing us all here today. I thank you for putting us in this world, this crazy world, because you have a mission for each and every one of us. And that's to share the good news that Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us, every person in here, every person out there. Father, we thank you, Lord, for hearing Jesus' prayer. And we thank you, Jesus, for your awesome gift of grace that you give us on the cross. And we ask that the Holy Spirit just guide us in our decisions, whether that's the ability to go back in with the raft, not to be raft police, whether that's help us not to compromise your ways in our lives. Lord, help us follow you. Because we know we can get caught up in this world. We can get discouraged by things that we've done in the past. We know we can become lost because we think that maybe we're all alone and you don't care, but that's not true. So God, protect us from those lies. Protect us from the things that the enemy wants to put in our heads. Because you are the truth. And we're not going to be hibernating away from the world anymore. We're going to be sent. So, Lord, let our church be a church of sent, of mission. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship you. And for those in this room or online and they don't know who you are or what you've done in their lives, but they're ready to cross that line of faith and accept that grace. It starts with a simple prayer, and you can just pray it in your head, and I'll pray it. I'll pray it out loud. Jesus, thank you for what you've done on the cross for me, paying for all of my sins. And I don't want to carry this burden anymore. I want to follow you. And Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done in my life. And I'm sorry for all of the things that I've done away from you. I want to follow you. So God, let that be our prayer every single day. New salvation. And we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.